pretty snazzy software here for this. Now, if I stand, can you hear me? If I sit down, I think I'll be below the microphone, so now I'm not sure where I should be. So I think I'll try this. But good morning, and good to see you all. I'll be talking about youth behaviors, health, and academic achievement, the impact of student behavior on academic success. I have no relationships to disclose. The data I'll be talking about is from the Youth Risk and Resiliency Survey, and I wanted to know how many of you are aware of the Youth Risk Behavior Survey that the CDC conducts. Okay, pretty much everybody in the room. The Youth Risk and Resiliency Survey is New Mexico's version of the survey. It is a part of the CDC's YRBS, but we include, in addition to the behaviors, the risk behaviors, we also include protective and resiliency factors. And we include some additional academic achievement factors. So I'll be talking a little bit about some of those variables in this presentation. This survey has been conducted in New Mexico since 2001. It's conducted every other year, just like the YRBS, so that we can see the trends over time. We do public school students grades 6 through 8 in a middle school survey, and grades 9 through 12 in the high school survey. This is the primary survey that is approved by our departments of education and health, and we do a much larger sample than the CDC's YRBS so that we can get not only the state level data, but county level and district level data. This last time that we conducted the survey, we had over 11,000 students statewide that participated in the survey. Because we met the minimum response rate requirements for the YRBS, we are included in the national data so that we have comparison data. We're very proud of that because with 11,000 students, it's very hard to get. So the goals of this are to help us identify and prioritize those issues among youth, including the risk behaviors that and protective factors that impact their health and social well-being. We are encouraging the school districts to use the data for program development and evaluation of existing programs, for policy making and resource allocation at both the state and the local levels. And the primary reason behind that is because the schools are interested in, with the No Child Left Behind legislation, the academic success. And so by addressing the risk behaviors that students engage in, we can address their academic success as well. Information on the YRS are the health risk behaviors, the protective factors, and those are those factors in a student's life that connect them to their school, to their family, to their community, and help give them resources that they can call on that can help them when they're facing the risk behaviors. We also have some personal characteristics and academic performance measures, such as grades in school, truancy, plans for college beyond high school, and a few others. The risk behaviors are associated with academic performance, which is also associated with the protective factors, and those are all associated together. So I'm going to be talking about each component of this morning, just to show how they are interrelated and some of the analyses that we can do on this. Since most of you know the Risk Behavior Survey, you're aware that these are the topics that are covered in it. Let me tell you a little. I'm not going to go through all of the risk behaviors, but I've pulled a few out that are of interest. So first of all, tobacco use. New Mexico has the fifth highest rate of current smoking among the 40 participating YRBS states. These data here show we have 60% of our students have ever tried smoking, 18% tried smoking before the age of 13. New Mexico is a little bit higher than the national average for current cigarette smoking. Binge drinking, which is the consuming five or more drinks at a single time, we show that 43% of our students are current drinkers. 31% had a drink before age 13. And New Mexico has the highest rate of drinking before the age of 13. We're not significantly different from the United States as far as binge drinking. Suicide attempts. We have the fourth highest rate of sadness or hopelessness. We have the highest rate of seriously considering suicide. We have the highest rate of suicide attempts and attempts leading to injury. And we are consistently in the top three of the states for youth suicide. The U.S. rate is about 7% for youth suicide attempts. In New Mexico, we are more than double that. And we have subpopulations that are quite a bit higher. Our Native American youth, for instance, are the highest in the country and significantly above this rate. Overweight. U.S., we have 29% of the youth are overweight or obese. New Mexico is slightly better than that. We have a little bit higher rates of physical activity and lower rates of television viewing and use of computer for, you know, non-school uses. So we're a little bit better off than that. In addition to these behaviors, just so you know, get an idea of New Mexico, we have very high drug use rates. We have among the highest drug overdose deaths in the country. We have very high violence rates. And with these barriers, it's no wonder that our students have difficulty succeeding in school. Academic performance measures that we look at, we have questions on the survey about whether the students are trying hard to do their best work at school, whether they plan to go to college after high school, truancy measures, coming to classes without being prepared, and their grades. And we'll be looking at how those all relate here, the connection between risk behaviors and academic performance. Now, I'm not going to go over every statistic, but I want to show you some patterns. We show here that the students engaging in the risk behaviors are far more likely than their peers to be truant. So if you look at the top bar there, we have those students who are current smokers, as the dark blue, have a much higher chance of being truant than those who are not current smokers, which is the light blue. And you can see that pattern holds through the smoking, binge drinking, attempting suicide, and no real significant difference with the overweight or at risk of overweight. Similarly, for those students engaging in these behaviors, they were much less likely than their peers to get good grades. So again, the top bar are those that are current smokers. They have much less likely to get A's and B's than those students who are not current smokers. So we have patterns that show through here for their academic performance. For educational aspirations, we have that 75% of our students have plans to go to college after high school, but those who are not participating in the smoking, the drinking, or the suicide attempts show they're much more likely to have plans after high school. And that is a way of looking at whether they can see themselves in some sort of life after their high school. It's a measure that shows that they can see a future. Thank you. So we have our protective factors. These are those factors. They are caring and supportive relationships, boundaries and expectations, positive peer influence, commitment to learning, constructive use of time, life skills, and community norms. These are also linked with the risk behaviors and some very interesting patterns. Those students who have a relationship with an adult in their school or at home, this one is about school, are much less likely to participate in the risk behaviors. Similarly, those students who have rules and boundaries that they can relate to, that their expectations of them in their school are far less likely to participate in these risk behaviors. Similarly, for constructive use of time at school, things like I am involved in sports, clubs or extracurricular activities. These are students that are connected into their school in a way that they have constructive ways that they can address their leisure time. Peer influence, nothing surprising there. If my friends do well and don't get into trouble, I'm much less likely to do so as well. Looking at academic performance, we can see that students who have those caring adults are less likely to be truant, they get better grades, and the strongest measure here is having plans to go on to college. These are students that can see a role for themselves outside of high school. Strong relationship as well with having rules and boundaries. And of course, positive peer influence. Constructive use of time in school. So these are students, again, that are plugged into their school. They have, they participate in extracurricular activities, band, choir, something like that. These are the students that are doing better at school. So this quick overview is just to show the interaction between these three components in the New Mexico Youth Risk and Resiliency Survey. Now, while we can't suggest a causal trend between these, we can't say that it's the protective factors that lead to the lower risk behaviors, but we can show that there are important relationships here and that students have a complex relationship with their environment that allows them to make healthy choices. And suggests ways that we can enhance student outcomes by helping build on their resiliency when they're faced with risks in their lives. One thing that we do know from the literature, we know that we cannot eliminate risks that students face. In New Mexico, as well as many other states in the country, our students are faced with some really severe risks, and we're working with the schools to show them that there are ways that they can address these risks and give students what they need in order to succeed. This is my contact information, and we have a number of reports available at our Department of Health website, and the national data, the CDC website also includes the New Mexico data, as well as most likely your state, because about 40 of the 50 states did participate in the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. So I thank you for your attention.
Thank you. And